participants. We're just welcoming people on our conference call line. Please welcome all UBBS radio people, and welcome to the conference call line people as well. Please state your name and your city when you get a chance.
I've got a question. Can I mute myself?
Yes, star six.
Star six? I'm eating. I don't want everybody to hear my dinner here.
Yeah, we'll get jealous.
Uh-huh.
Welcome to Wednesday's question and answer call. Please state your name and your city.
From Concord, California.
I'm sorry, could you say your name again?
Francis from Concord, California.
Welcome, Francis. Thanks for joining us.
Jim from Sedona. That's me, Jim from Sedona.
Hi, Jim. Welcome. Thank you for...
Hello, my dear. It's so good to hear your voice.
And yours as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's such a sexy voice. It's so nice to hear you, Jim.
Well, that's all that's sexy about me. I'm happy there's something.
You're happy to play a
ball? I don't think so. I'm sure. More than your voice.
Well, if I play...
You're playing the piano wonderfully.
Oh, you're very flattering. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
you're
anytime
welcome.
You want to play music for us.
At any time you like,
yeah.
It. And for free.
Oh, wow.
Good evening and welcome to Wednesday's question and answer call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi.
John Abbott, Colorado.
Hello, welcome.
Lloyd Stiles.
Was that Donna?
Lloyd.
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 Welcome.
Wade.
Lloyd. Lloyd. Is that Lloyd from Colorado?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good evening.
Welcome
to our call. Lloyd is a newcomer, guys.
First time caller?
Welcome,
he's
Lloyd.
He's a newcomer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. The first time caller's win is very gentle.
Yeah, we try to be.
Does that mean I get free dinner?
Did we hear Wynn in the background there? Good Wynn evening. Welcome to Wednesday's question and answer call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, this is Wynn, and they said that Terry's taking the night off, so Marilyn should answer questions tonight.
That's a good one, Wynn.
Yeah.
For what she just said?
Did we want to talk about the weather?
That's funny.
Joe, do you have a good question for Marilyn tonight?
Oh, you know what? I'm sure I can think of one.
Great. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday's question and answer call. Please state your name and your city.
This is of West Palm Beach.
Welcome. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Who was that in West Palm Beach?
Yes.
Who was it? Your name?
Steve.
Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi.
We had somebody else from West Palm Beach.
You have several people joined us. One at a time, please state your name and your city.
Rosalie in Huntsville.
Welcome, Rosalie.
Thanks
for joining us. Edna. Hello, Edna. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, Edna. We're talking about you. We're talking about you in good way, though.
Oh, thank you.
Hi,
yes, you have a
this
neighbor that wants to meet you.
Hi, Edna. This is Duane.
Hi, Duane. Duane, are you feeling okay tonight?
Hi,
are you feeling okay tonight, Duane?
Absolutely.
He's very good. He's keeping his clue. He's really nice.
Yes, he's been very good. We stuffed him in the corner, and he's been very polite.
Dwayne, you actually sound mature tonight.
Oh, that's just my microphone.
It is? Okay.
He's been very good, hasn't he, Lucy?
Yeah, I know.
Hello.
Well, you know what?
Hello. Welcome to Wednesday's Question and Answer. Please state your name and your city.
Michael, Beverly.
Hello, Michael. Welcome.
Michael.
Thanks for joining us.
I always look forward to Dwayne's critiques of my calls afterwards. You talk too much. You didn't talk enough. You should have done this.
Well, those critiques are worth gold in your world.
Say that again?
Those critiques are worth gold in your world.
Oh, where's the gold?
You just got to be patient.
I'm patient. Jeez, I'm still here, right?
Yeah, but that's by happenstance.
Those who don't have patience end up one.
We have a new caller. No, it's Lloyd from Colorado Springs. He's a new caller.
Lloyd,
did you hear that? Yeah, Lloyd.
I did. Lloyd, hi, Lloyd. Lloyd, don't pay any attention to how we sound at this portion of the call. You know, what we decided, we were going to just do the beginning of the call and let everyone let their animal instincts out. So by the time the call started, we would be in good shape.
Yeah, Lucy told me I was going to get free dinner if I called.
She did that. Well, we serve pastoral dinners here.
Yes. So make sure you bring your imagination with you.
Right, bring your imagination with you. Hi there, this is Lynn. Listen,
this is Kathy.
We're not going to greet anybody. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
I wasn't going to greet you. You got in under the wire.
Okay.
You're like 6:07, and of course, I'm just trying to avoid doing the call by saying hello to everybody for a long time. It's sneaking up on me. Is Terry there? Terry, are you there? Terry?
We have not heard Terry.
I'm here.
Muted.
Okay. So we're going to start our recording.
This conference is being recorded.
And it is 6:07 on August 21st, 2013. And my name is Wynn Free and Terry Brown. And I was just going to open the mics and ask you guys.
Unmuted.
What are you guys enjoying these series on the Anunnaki and the beginnings of humans?
Yeah.
Did anybody go into shock over it? Like, that can't be true?
It's still true.
It's true?
When? It's still true. I don't know.
Still true.
This is Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Hi, is that Margaret in New Zealand?
Yeah, that's Margaret on the Psyche Isle. Yeah.
Was that Margaret that always used to write me nasty emails in the Edgar Casey group?
No, I didn't. No. I said sorry. And I came over to you.
That was you, right?
No, when you came onto the Casey group, I said that the Elohim must have a sense of humor because they like your music.
Thank you.
That's all I said.
Let's see. Thank you. Margaret, it's delightful to have you on the line.
That's right. I was going to say that the thing with the Enlil and Enki is that it's hard to see just how great they really are, or they were, you know, from our perspective. That's what I find. It's a little bit difficult when you're talking about them in such a sort of a casual way that they were really quite advanced. Spectacular, really, weren't they?
I think they weren't advanced socially. They weren't advanced compassionately.
but if they're written up in the Bible, you know, they're sort of a little a cut above the poor old Israelites walking in the desert and all that, you know.
I think there's another Anunnaki guest scheduled coast to coast tonight. I mean, Gerald Clark.
You guys hear David on Coast to Coast?
I heard
We heard him.
He's a man.
Speaking of synchronicity, okay, thank you, Margaret, for sharing. And is there anybody Jewish on the line that was offended?
No.
No. Thank you. I'm speaking for everyone. All right. I
muted.
I imagine that Enki Enlil stuff probably, because it's so derivative of the Old Testament. If somebody had an attachment to the Old Testament being right, then it would be fairly difficult to take. But guess what? Terry and I went to a talk of Michael Tillinger's last night in Sedona. And in case you don't know who Michael Tillinger is, he has been the guy that has been validating, if you want to review how all this stuff is slowly but surely moving into public consciousness, Zachariah Sitchin was interpreting the Sumerian tablets. And he was the first guy who started writing books about it. And in the Sumerian tablets, they talk about the gold miners and everything else. And then, unbeknownst to him at the time, that there was any evidence, Michael Tillinger found the evidence of not just the gold mines, but a million people living in Zimbabwe, and all of these circles and calendars, and et cetera, et cetera, and proving essentially that there was physical evidence to back up Sitchin's talk, translations. And so he has been researching this, and he is the only person. I think he's an archaeologist, and he's giving a tour across the country, and it's really spectacular, really. And Terry and I saw him in Sedona, and we had breakfast with him today, he and his wife, and I am sure they're going to end up on my Monday show. On our Monday show. And he was really excited to connect with me because, as he says, and as I know, these Anunnaki spacemen were calling themselves Elohim. And we have the story that goes above that because you can see the problem the Elohim have. You know, you think everything is so perfect when you think of the higher realms. But here the Elohim sending, developing the universe. We've done all this. We've done all these questions on how the universe was created. And then they're coming into the universe, and they're getting stuck here. And now because the universe is finite, people start competing and feeling separate from each other, and they start fighting with each other, and that the Anunnaki were these descended Elohim, and biblically this would have been the fallen angels, except they were the ones that were biblical. And so he was really, really interested in what we were telling him. It was a real connection. Like, he is really highly intended. He knows what's going on the planet. He is very sophisticated and very masterful. And I'll probably share some things of his. But he is putting out these ideas. He's running for president of South Africa, and he's putting out ways for communities to put themselves together, similar to Team Shift, but in a different angle. And it's brilliantly put together. The idea being that if we don't do that, we're in deep doo-doo than we are, because the outer stuff is going to fall apart. And I hate to say that, but it just seems fairly irrevocable that that's going to happen. May not happen for a few years. Hopefully it'll be longer. May happen tomorrow. Can't tell. But there's no substantial support for the outer stuff at this point. So he's created an idea for people to start coming together, a way to come together, a way to do it that's authentic in communities. And that's the only thing that's going to save the planet, if it's possible. Big job. Terry, I know what I want to share. We talked about synchronicity. David Wilcock has a book called Synchronicity. I had a great synchronicity last night. And in fact, this is one of those moments where I'm going to share something that if you guys are moved by it, send me an email. We're testing something. And what I did, as you all know, this material is impossible to talk about to somebody. I mean, somebody you know that you want to interest in it. It's like it's you don't know where to start. You don't know where it goes, and then by the time you're finished, I think you're a wacko. So I made this little design with a thumb with rainbows coming out of it, and then I put Intelligent Infinity on top of a thumb, and I turned them into a little business card. And now I'm testing it. I decided when I was up at this event yesterday, I was just going to, the people that looked really cool and nice, and I was going to hand them the business card. And when they say, what's this? I said, just check it out. And it goes to the Intelligent Infinity website. So as I was leaving the event, the room, there was a woman standing at the door outside who was passing out flyers for some event in Sedona. And I looked at her and I said, you should have me on this event. And she said, well, she was just passing out flyers. She wasn't responsible. But could I tell the event coordinator about me? And I said, sure. And then I took out one of the cards, these little cards that I made, and I wrote WIN on the back of it, and she looks at my name. I didn't have my name on the card. This is not like a business card that I want people to call me. I just put my name because and my email so they can look at me for this event. Well, she took the card and saw the name WIN, and she said, WIN, are you WIN-free? And I said, yes. And then she said, you're the reason I moved to Sedona. I never heard of you, but my mother listens to you. I forget her mother's name. If you're listening, hi, Mom. But my mother listens to you, and she sent me to Sedona to find this guy. And there I was handing her a card. That is a synchronicity. So if any of you would like some of these little business cards with these designs on it that say Intelligent Infinity, and just hand them to people. Don't, pick your people. Look at people, see if they feel sensitive, and then hand it to them, because you never know who's going to say, what a nice picture. I wonder what Intelligent Infinity is. And then somebody goes to the website. And I'm going to try this some more because I got very comfortable handing them to people at this event. Most of the people in Sedona don't know who I am. And then I used to try talking about it, and I couldn't, you know, it was like Sedona is such a new age town. And at some point, I started to feel that I didn't fit into new age. And in any case, Terry, are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Anything you'd like to share about last night or breakfast?
Well, it was really heartwarming to be able to talk with Michael Tollinger and his wife, Louise. Just felt that there was some sanity. They were bringing sanity in the world, and their whole desire to set up a society that really worked. And he calls it Ubuntu, a society without money, where everybody contributes their energy. And he's going to send out an email book on that. So I'm anxious to find out more and how it works. That's it.
Thank you. All right. Well, we have some great questions tonight, and I think we should get right into it because, are you ready? You're not ready, Terry, right?
Well, probably as ready as I'll ever be.
And I think Michael was excited about the idea of being able to cross-reference stuff with the celestial Elohim, and I think he was fairly well convinced by the time we finished breakfast that we were really doing that. Anyone, let me just say once again, if you want me to send you some of those little business cards with Intelligent Infinity on it, you know, that in itself is a way of creating community. Just passing out those cards, handing them to people, you know. You don't have to talk about it. If it doesn't resonate, just say, okay, it doesn't resonate, next. But if it does, you could be changing totally someone's life. So just send us an email, and you got it. Let me see here. Don Herman, I'm not asking your questions tonight. We've asked too many of your questions, okay? But thank you for keeping a good question. Ask it again. Let me give some of the new people a chance. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and all of you on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the world one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we have our sources present. We just like to ask for your blessings, your flow into this realm, your flow into each of our lives.
as a representation of the law of one, with understanding that you're a higher aspect of us, and we're a lower aspect of you, and that when the two combine, we shift the energies of everything in between. And let me just turn it over for introductory comment.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. This is the 21st of August, 2013. And we are specifically available to each and every person within the sound of the voice or within the writing of a transcript. And we are honored that we have this chance to be able to make contact and be able to bring high vibrations into your sphere that allow you, when you, your own self, express or emit the high vibrations, to have a higher range of perception, to become more sensitive to the vibes, as you call them, around you. Do you have questions?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to read Edna's question because it just relates to what you just said. And Edna asks about this personally. If I ask sources to come in and meditate with me, would they come? I guess you're saying, would you come? I am in need of supporting the love light energy right now. Lots of challenges right now. Thank you, Edna. And I think Edna's question expands out for many people who they want to feel the energy, they want the upliftment, and they ask and they don't feel anything. Like we had the one fellow who suddenly heard the ding-dong and everything shifted for him. So how would you address Edna's question?
Thank you. We bring love. We bring light at a very high frequency. We bring support. And we can pay attention and sometimes bring synchronicities in. And when you ask specifically for what it is that you wish to have happen, what it is you wish to have in your life change, we then will know what areas that we can look in to bring potential synchronicities to you. It does not have the frequencies, except as we are connected with the Ra group, to the earth frequencies, the lower frequencies. Those are frequencies that you bring in. And very often when people look for us, they see those earth frequencies and they do not see the very high frequencies that we are bringing in and are there, but are somewhat invisible. We bring support and we bring love. As far as solution to problems, you can talk to us about them. We do not solve the problems, is that is on your end. This is in your life's job, that we are there for support. And we can sometimes lean things in your favor if it is for the highest good.
You know, a subset question is, let's suppose someone has a lot of negative stuff they're working out. And they've had a lot of track of negative stuff. And they're wanting to reverse that. And they're wanting to, you know, switch that. In that case, can you work with that person, or do they have to work out some of their karmic paths before there's an opening?
It depends upon the perception of the individual. I think the individual has a lot of negative track. It is hard for them to free themselves up to make the connection with us or to hear us. It depends upon the openness of the person. And the more open that they are to us, the more open they are to other solutions and to being able to step out of the box or trap, the specific trap that holds them down. As they see outside of the box and see other potentials, other possibilities.
Thank you. I'll have a question from Anonymous. And the question is, which races on our planet are the Anunnaki directly responsible for? And that's not exactly his question. It's kind of a bigger question. His question is, if the various races on Earth come from other locations, is the Caucasian race descendants of the humans and Anunnaki enslaved to mine gold? and if not, now this doesn't make sense here. And if not, who are their descendants? I don't think we're enslaved to mine gold. It's just that we're programmed to be servants. There's an aspect of us that responds to hierarchy and even, you know, the way we relate to God, if it's God's will, you know, that whole right statement, if it's God's will, seems to me to be a direct connection to this Anunnaki stuff. Because, as I get it, the one infinite creator, the Elohim, and the first expansion from that, and their will is for us to be joyful and not to hurt other people and to love creation. And other than that, it's on us to figure out how we're going to do that. And there is not a God's will that goes anywhere beyond that. But this idea that there's a God's will is, you know, implied in that is judgment. Like, I'm going to do something that's not God's will, and I'm sure it doesn't work that way. But other people might disagree. So, in any case, let me read this question. I'll read my question and his question. My question is: what races come from the Anunnaki that are on our planet? And the question here is, the Caucasian race descendants of the humans of the Anunnaki, enslaved to mine gold? I guess he's saying, is the Caucasian race, are we descendants of the humans of the Anunnaki who are enslaved? And if not, who are their descendants? It's really the descendants of the Anunnaki, the hybrid, you know, Anunnaki. Thank you.
Thank you. The Anunnaki, starting in South Africa, as we look at the history of the planet, there is only one of the episodes where it has become populated with humanoids. There were other races also. The race of people on Mars, and they migrated to Earth. when Mars became uninhabitable. So they intermixed with the humans that were on Earth. The humans on Earth were generated in this one episode 200,000, 300,000 years ago by the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki came to Earth and did genetic experiments and worked with the humans, the Erectus, that were on the planet at the time. And they crossbred them with their own genes and developed a race of people that were able to be the servants of the Anunnaki and to mine gold for them. Then these people began to spread, and their descendants spread into other parts of the Earth. There were settlements at the time in South Africa, and then Egypt, and then Iraq, and Sinai Peninsula. There were disagreements about whether these individuals were genetically correct to be procreating and whether they would become unruly and not follow instructions and become too self-determined and not be the slave race anymore. When one of the parties of the Anunnaki determined that this race was not acting correctly, he decided to wipe out a portion of it, the portion that was not minding, was not following the rules. And he started to nuke some of the cities to destroy the population. There later came a flood, and the Anunnaki were aware of the flood that was coming, the crustal displacement of Earth, and they did not warn the human race, and the majority of the humanoids were killed. However, there were a number of people that survived, and they began to procreate again. And there were different root races that were established on Earth from different planetary extraterrestrial sources, from Pleiades, from Andromeda, from Sirius. So there are different root races. The ones that survived the flood began to procreate and began to again populate the areas of Earth. That is a little bit of the history. They are not all of the people on Earth are not from the descendants of the gold miners, although some of them are.
This is from Terry Marie in Boulder City, Nevada. And she says, after my dog, Nikki, passed, I saw her in a dream and was able to hold her in my arms. My father and brother on the other side, in other words, her father and mother had passed, were sitting in a room and she went to them. They reached for her, but they couldn't see or feel her, and I wondered why. Where is she? Is there a special place for animals, or does it take time for them to transition? Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Let's take a look, and we see that your dog is still in the area around you and will be there for a while until the connection with others may draw him to them, and curiosity and outgoingness will divert his attention. But right now, for the time being, he needs to be around you and to gain knowledge of how to operate without the body. And he is doing very well.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Suzanne Lindberg in the Netherlands. She has two questions here. I have the experience of a place beyond duality, a place where there's everything as well as nothing, a place like between thoughts. I wonder what you can tell me about this place, as well as what or where you are in relationship with this that I've experienced.
Thank you. Who is the questioner?
This is from Suzanne Lindberg in the Netherlands.
Thank you. This is a hologramic area. And this is where you once were. And things are much faster in that area. And the individuals who were there at the time are making, contributing to the hologram. It is a former place that you lived. And it is strong in your memory as a template of a good place to be. In relationship to us, we have a similar template, but it is not so much manifest. The place where you are from is more manifest in the earth realm, not the earth realm, but in the manifest realm than where we are, as we are partly out of the manifest realm. And your home is also more out of the solid manifest as Earth is. It's more liquid. There is more flow of energy there and there is more love and stability. You might say that we are on a parallel plane to that, but we are more ethereal, less solid even than that. And that is a wonderful place that you are thinking of. Thank you.
Thank you. Don Herman asks the question, what is enlightenment?
Thank you. And this is an age-old question. We may not look at enlightenment in the same way as all of the other people that define it. We would look at enlightenment in a number of ways. One of them would be that the individual has learned the lesson of love, the law of one, the ability to be one with his brother, to be able to look at the different sides of things and be able to overall to love himself, in his fellow man, in his family. This does not mean to be a doormat. This means that the individual knows how to give, knows how to receive, and knows how to be of service to others and can be open to receiving the benefits and the wealth of that back in big numbers, big volume back. We were going to say to receive it in spades, but that is a phrase that does not really convey what is meant here. For when one knows how to love and to give and to receive, then they open themselves to fulfillment. And they open themselves to the knowledge of how things work. And they are as on an island that is safe, because they know that they are. They know who they are. They are a being who can give and take and can love. We look at that as enlightenment, the open heart, rather than the mind that is always thinking, is always able to come up with answers. We look at the open heart and the ability to give and receive as true enlightenment. Then one can let the light in.
Thank you. Next question is Meryl, and she has a question about her sister, and I'm going to reconvert the question, Meryl, so it's more of a generic question, because they won't talk about your sister as a specific situation here, because it would violate her free will because she didn't ask the question. They don't answer those questions when I ask them. If I say something about someone, I never get inside information unless it's totally relative to the work we're doing. Like, would so-and-so be a good person to work with? Then they might say yes on that. But if I asked them a question that was like, is so-and-so, the horse's wife, that would be where a violation is. So it has to be carefully questioned to avoid that kind of trap. But her question is, I have a sister who ironically sports the middle name of Joy, who seems addicted to feeling angry, deprived, devalued, and discounted, and unloved. When something good happens, she appears to search for the black lining in order to continue to complain that the universe and beings hate and abuse her. She describes herself as a highly spirited angel, with no clue she is magnifying the negative in her space. Could you tell me the reason for this? And is there something that could help change the pattern so she could experience more happiness? So let me ask the question, not as it relates to your sister, okay? But just as a general thing. Many of us have self-images where we want to be a certain way, we'd like to be seen a certain way, and underneath, we're not feeling that way. We're feeling dark, attracted, depressed, and yet we identify with feeling otherwise, right? How can what causes that pattern, and how can a person shift it?
Thank you. One of the things that happens with people is they spend a lot of time developing a self-image or taking their body into the image that they wish others to see when they look at them. So when you're with somebody, and if you watch their patterns and see how it is that you feel about them, and then see if you can see that that's how they wish to be portrayed. Whatever they're working really hard on as an image to send out there, then that's how they would like to be portrayed or seen. But it doesn't mean that they're necessarily deep down that way. Well, it could mean that they are that way, but it might not be that. There is a tendency for reversal. There has been programming where if one thinks of joy, then immediately one thinks of not joy. When one thinks of create, one thinks of destroy. And it's almost as if that one thought, positive thought is a trigger for the negative thought, or sometimes negative thought is a trigger for a positive thought. And each person has an area where they're particularly sensitive in that, where they have something that they're working really hard on, and the other side is kicking in heavily. And it usually has something to do with what they are doing in their life, some hurdle they're trying to get over or through. And when they almost make it or they almost get there, then the opposite starts keying in or triggering as if it's becoming harder and harder to get to the goal because the opposite, like things are going to go wrong, the car's not going to make it, things start kicking in. And it could have something to do with their past, where they have tried really, really hard to do something, and then it's gone wrong. So from your standpoint, I think give us a moment. one of the things that you might consider is to observe your sister and see what it is. What are the triggers? What happens just before she gets angry? Is something good happening, the trigger for her anger? Is she rejecting the something good? But you can observe her and see what you can learn from her behavior, and then what are the triggers of her behavior. As far as how to respond, sometimes if you respond in kind, like if a person's angry and you respond, although under total control, but with anger or simulated anger, then you can reach them better than if you were nice when they were angry. And you can play around with emotions and responses. If you were cynical or sarcastic in a way that was, in a way, being helpful, perhaps that would reach through. But just being nice, and while she's angry, is unlikely that would reach through to her. We hope these are some clues that will help.
Thank you. We got an email from Terry who said, thank you so much for the information about Nikki. That's her dog. She's the lady that asked about the dog. I thought she might still be with me, but wasn't sure. Thank you, Terry. And then, let me see here. Susan says, send me some phone cards. Now, Susan, you just made history, because now we know what we're going to call from thumb cards, okay? All right. Susan says, Terry can include them in with the pendants. And you know what? She asked for half a dozen, but you guys should get more than that, like a dozen. And at some point, 500 at a time, then we'll sell them for a little bit. But all those people you pass in the course of the day that are wanderers, that you said, geez, they would really appreciate this material. You just walk up and say, hey, check this out. And just be a little quizzical. It's just like, that's the kind of stuff that creates synchronicities, because you're meeting a stranger, you're handing him something, and then down the road, it's like, isn't that? That's the lady that turned me on to this. And it makes a huge, that's how the universe changes. Not for trying to convince somebody mentally. It's impossible. But, you know, when you hand them the card, have that transmission of energy, that quizzical transmission of energy, and magic can happen. Okay, we are at the end tonight. Thank you all for your questions. Thank you so much, Terry. We just send everybody blessings and the courage and the fortitude to go against your obstacles and get through them. You know, we're all like Don Quixote, and our obstacles are like our windmills. And there is a way. It's not always obvious, but things can change. And for some of you, they've already changed. We just thank you for all the blessings that have come our way and the way of this group. And we'll see you. Let me see here. We'll see you next time. Sunday, Grigioin.
Unmuted.
Unmuted. Thank you, Marilyn, for saying hello to everybody today. Okay.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Thank you very much for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Thank you. Marilyn, for your good work.
Thanks, Vinny. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Perfect.